Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 22nd of July, recording at 9:03 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mixed. Some of the stronger markets are encountering resistance near the higher side of their ranges. China's a big exception. China surged again today. And in Europe, we saw modest gains at the close. Wall Street sort of seesawed a little bit in and out of the plus column. Closed down 35 on the Dow, half a percentage. No. Half of 1 point. That's virtually unchanged on the S&P, and a modest gain of 0.5% on the NASDAQ composite. Long-dated government bonds were weaker here today. The U.S. dollar reversed some earlier gains to close with modest losses, but off the lows on the day. Mixed. I would describe the dollar as mixed, looking at the screen. Once more, the precious metals were firmer, with gold back up to 951, but that's off the highs. And we had a mixed performance in the other commodity markets. Industrial metals steadied. We had a good performance here. Copper, for instance, up over 250, currently 252.4. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, for stock markets, starting on the week of July 13th, it's been a stunning performance, big upward dynamic on that week, and a lot of that action started with upside key reversals on the 13th. Itself, marking the bottom of those ranging reactions. And we've seen a number of stock markets break upwards against this overall background. And that's impressive technical action. And I attribute it to mainly the very positive tailwind coming from monetary policy, which is in place, and that's not a tailwind that's going to change anytime soon, in my opinion. I think it's also been helped by some decent corporate profits. We've had a few surprises on the upside with corporate profits. Now, let's take those corporate profits. Companies would have used the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year to throw everything that was sort of dubiously off balance sheet, into the kitchen sink. Not that they really needed to, because profits are going to stink anyway, given the economic meltdown during those two quarters. But they wrote down virtually everything they could, because it was a good time to do so. And they also cut dividends in many instances. They shed labor and are continuing to shed labor in many instances. So the productivity increases have actually boosted corporate profits recently. Now, whether that's sustainable is an interesting debate. And when stock markets have had such a good week and a half as we've seen recently, then people are seeing green shoots everywhere and talking about economic recovery. They interpret the market's action as a good stock market signal. Well, you've got a good economic recovery in China. You have a moderately good one in India. And on the positive side in Indonesia, the commodity exporting economies are clearly improving. The U.S. economy or the U.K. economy, well, I have my doubts. What are those based on? Well, I'll point to the banking indices. They bounced well off their lows in March, helped by a lot of short covering. But they peaked in May, and they have underperformed quite noticeably very recently, or really since May they underperformed, but they have not rebounded strongly, as we saw with the S&P 500, for instance, and the FTSE 100 index. Now, in the U.S., you have a number of bank indices, and they do vary. It's simpler in the U.K., but the underperformance of the FTSE 350 banks index is a warning sign, and if that doesn't improve and follow the FTSE 100 in an upward break, then I would be cautious about extrapolating rallies higher in those two stock markets. Also, if we take the S&P, the index, bank index that worries me the most, and Owen showed it yesterday, and I've posted it again here today and talked about it a little bit more, is the regional banks, the S&P Regional Banks Index. Now, that performance has been shocking since May, and that just says to me there's a lot of trouble out there, and that's the reality that many people are aware of, and many others are kind of whistling in the dark and hoping that other green shoots are countering it. But what does it mean? Well, to me, it means that a whole lot of commercial real estate is going under. Malls, for instance, as small businesses, all sorts of small businesses go under in this environment. And they can't get credit, and they can't get customers because the consumer is just not in a position to spend. The consumer is radically trying to cover, or I should say reduce, indebtedness, and actually people are making more equity withdrawals in this current environment where they can to pay down credit card debt. And I saw one statistic in a report that I'm not free to reproduce, but that actually claimed that of all the people who have mortgages in the U.S., that the average equity that they hold against the value of their homes is now down to 10%. And that's just a shocking figure overall. So I assume that we're going to have lots more mortgage defaults. We know all about those ARMs, adjustable rate mortgage rises that are going to be hitting in 2010 and 2011. And I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on those regional banks. And so I think we'll see more mortgage defaults, more credit card defaults, more small businesses going under, more rising unemployment. And that is just not a good recipe for the U.S. economy. Also, the much-vaunted stimulus package, well, a lot of it has yet to kick in. A lot of it was just thrown at the banks, which paid it out in bonuses to people who didn't need it. So this is not a healthy situation. And then, last but not least, I've posted two charts today of the FTSE 100 and the S&P 500 in Australian dollars. Why Australian dollars? Well, it's a currency that we've liked for quite some time. We like resources currencies anyway. And the Australian dollar is a developed country resources currency. It had taken a beating last year during the market collapse, but has been recovering really ever since. And when you look at the S&P or FTSE in Australian dollars, it is a distinctly unimpressive performance. So again, Fuller Money Themes are doing extremely well, and they are benefiting from the economic recovery, such as it is, where it is actually occurring. And I think they will continue to do so in this environment. But we're not seeing uncoupling. Uncoupling is a pipe dream, at least among the larger economies. But what we are seeing is relative outperformers and, of course, relative underperformers. And FTSE and the S&P 500, in particular, are clearly underperformers in here. As a matter of fact, you could take all the OECD stock markets, and they're underperformers. Okay, what about other markets here? Well, we still have this, what I find somewhat sort of irritating, sort of knee-jerk response. When the Dow's up a bit or the S&P's up a bit, we see stronger commodities, we see a weaker dollar, and we often see weaker bond markets. On the other hand, when the S&P weakens, we sometimes see stronger bond markets, although not today. But when the S&P weakens, we usually see a firmer US dollar, albeit within its range, at current ranges. And we also see weaker commodity prices when the dollar firms. And as we're just talking about, we can have little moves, and it's just as if they're all strung together here. Well, obviously, this is caused by short-term traders, dealers trying to scalp a few points. They've noticed this connection, and so they're just responding to it in a knee-jerk fashion, which is helping to perpetrate it for a while longer. This too will pass, as they say, and I think that we will see some other trends developing. The dollar is really sort of barely steady near the lower side of its current trading ranges, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it break down out of there. I was interested to see the firmer tone in precious metals today, and it does look to me as if those as if they are slowly coming to the end of this lengthy 18-month, 17-month consolidation. And that we will get another upward leg in the fourth quarter of this year, as I've been forecasting really for quite some time. Now that's assuming that they conform to that roughly 18-month long consolidation following spike peaks, and with the most of the breakouts onto the upside occurring in September, but of course the moves upwards would begin earlier. And I'm pleased to see gold back above 950. That's in line with my hypothesis that this is all a consolidation in its latter stages. I was also pleased to see some of the bearish sentiment expressed towards precious metals last week and the week before. That's encouraging. That's a contrary indicator, and not that many people are talking about big moves to the upside right now, because we've seen gold range bound here again for the last 17 months following its earlier peak just over 1,000. So, interesting times, I feel. Tricky times in here. This is not an easy time for making money. I'm sort of treading water in here, I find, in my own account. A few small profits, a few small losses, and my biggest positioning in terms of precious. In terms of trading positions, is in precious metals, and my Norwegian crown long against the US dollar. That's a big position. I also have the Singapore dollar against the US dollar. I've got some zinc as well. My Duff trades that I'm still holding right now are my Swiss market index short, which I put on at the wrong time. But my bigger positions, the precious metals and the Norwegian crown, are have a much bigger influence on my trading account. And so that's that picture. In terms of my long-term investment portfolio, I'm pleased with the performance. And I think while monetary policy remains so accommodative, that the surprises will continue to be on the upside more often than not, even if we get the next few months providing some wobbles in stock markets. And that's quite a high possibility. At what, maybe 50-50? I would have previously I was saying over 50-50, but given the bullish technical action that we've seen on most stock markets, albeit not confirmed by the FTSE banks or the S&P banks, as I mentioned a little earlier in this broadcast. Nevertheless, the bottom line message is that monetary policy still trumps most other factors more often than not. And I think that's a wrap again for today. So roll on tomorrow in these interesting, albeit somewhat tricky, rangy markets. All the best.